So I knew that when I was turning 40, I didn't want to be 50 and still auditioning. I wanted to find another thing. Fortunately, I met Richie Arpino, and we had traveled back and forth, having a great relationship for 5 years between LA and Atlanta. But it was kind of time to, you know, get off, you know.
Settle down,
right. But I also, I was able to remove myself from Hollywood. So it was an easier transition out of show business. And I was fortunate enough that when I was looking around for something else to do, I always was a good cook. I always was inspired by cooking. I love what food does. It brings people together and fosters that conversation that I was always so attracted to. So Super Jenny, Jennifer Levison, who has, you know, a very famous restaurant in Atlanta, took me in. I worked for her for free for 3 or 4 months.
This is extraordinary.
Yes, exactly. So she would call me at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and say, "Are you really coming in tomorrow?" And sure enough, I'd show up at 5:30 in the morning, and the two of us worked together side by side. She taught me how to build these interesting flavor combinations in salads and soups. She didn't have recipes. She would just encourage me to explore. And I totally got that. It was like improv. And, you know, from an acting perspective, improv, when you have a couple different things in your mind, you put it together and then you tell the story. So like creating soups and salads, that's what we did. And then 2.5 years later, she basically said, "It's time. You're ready. Go and, you know, do your own thing." So that's when Metro Fresh was born. And, you know, the cool thing is that I took what I learned, I made it my own, and I continued that drive for creativity and artistic life that communicates with people, that brings people in, creates a community, all those things that I love. And I get to get up in the morning and I have something to do. I have people that rely on me. And in that sense, my life became more important.
And a cookbook to celebrate 10 years.
Yes, that's really exciting for me as well. I started about a year and a half ago. You know, being in the kitchen a lot, I don't have a lot of time, and I'm running business. So I just, it was like pushing a boulder up a hill. Just, you know, a little bit every day. When I could grab a couple hours, I would do it. I knew that I wanted to include this blog section that I every day from day one of the restaurant, I wrote something. So because my menu changes every day, I wanted people to have this sort of personal buy-in. And it really worked, but it also was an incredible discipline that I didn't even know I was doing. So every day I would tell some sort of story, whether it was about the restaurant, whether it was about my home life, my childhood, my parents, current events, food. It was whatever sort of came into my mind. So
you were fulfilling another aspect of your creative life with writing.
Yes, exactly. And it was interesting to go back over these thousands and thousands of little blogs that I wrote over 10 years and see this diary develop.
Well, I think it's funny that early on you say you don't really see yourself as a chef, or you don't see yourself as a real chef, and you don't use recipes. Interesting disclaimers for someone who has a very successful restaurant and devoted followers and a beautiful cookbook. I think it's very touching that you begin with a tribute to your grandmothers.
Well, thank you. You know, when I was, the day that I started writing, and it's interesting because the last blog that I chose to include in that thought section of the book was the first day I started writing. And what came to my mind that day was that the influence of both of my grandmothers, my paternal grandmother, Grandma, was like a Betty Crocker cook, and beautiful Americana, just soup to nuts. It was just awesome. But it was all about the warmth of the kitchen. So then Mom's mom, Nana, was much more Julia Child. she was the gourmand. She read gourmet magazines. She read cookbooks incessantly. And her dinners were beautifully presented on, you know, the best china, and her table always looked gorgeous, and her food was meticulous. And she also used a lot of fresh vegetables that came from Grampy's garden, and, you know, and so those two influences really, when I started to think about it, really did make a difference in my culinary life. And, you know, I do say that I'm not a chef, sort of tongue in cheek, because obviously now after 13 or 14 years, obviously I am a chef. But what I really am is just somebody who experiments. And we, and as I say, I'm an improver. You know, everything that we do is just improv.
Well, you write further about how improv is still how mm-hmm. you view cooking and your approach to creativity. What is it about cooking that makes it an art?
Well, you know, it's what we do is like a Jackson Pollock painting. You know, you're really
dripping a lot.
Yeah, dripping. Well, hopefully not dripping too much, but it's a very visual thing. So you come into my restaurant, and the very first thing you see is a very large case with 8 different big bowls of salad.
I want all of them.
Yes, exactly. Most people do. And the reason they may read the menu as they're coming in the door, but by the time they get to that case and they see it, they will almost order with their eyes. You know, something will stand out at them. And that's the art of it. Like, you can make a salad that's sort of delicious and monochromatic, but if you add something that's contrasting or depth, or, you know, if you have monochromatic but you have different shades of green, you have really light green and you have really dark green, and people are drawn to that. So like a painting, or like good improv on stage, or, you know, any sort of art form, that it really is about creating that. Of course, my food is more mass produced because we serve 400 or 500 people a day. Prepared food. If you go to, you know, a white tablecloth fancy restaurant, and there's such great chefs in this town that I admire greatly, they're able to actually create art on one plate. And we do that to a certain extent with our dinner entrees, but it's a little bit different creating a huge amount of something rather than this, like, little delicate
thing.
Yeah,
but what you're describing in terms of the color and the visual appeal is tantalizing the senses. And whether going back to Broadway and musicals, if you're going to razzle-dazzle them mm-hmm. by putting some color in it, you really are fulfilling not just the need to nurture, to provide our nutrients, but to nurture as well.
Right. I think so. I think the very first, the first part of taste is really sight, oddly enough. You know, you taste with your eyes first. And like you said, if you're watching a Broadway musical, all of your senses are stimulated by what you see in front of you. So, yeah, it really is about nurture. It's about nurturing. And that's sort of how I grew up. I believe that the creation of MetroFresh and the community that we have, you know, fostered over the last 10 years really is about nurturing society, you know. And it's a lofty thing, but I think if you had 9 out of 10 chefs who would sit here talking to you would say exactly the same thing. That's why you do it. In fact, I saw something on Atlanta Business Chronicle on Sunday. They were talking to Kevin Gillespie, and, you know, the profit margin in restaurants is so narrow. You know, you have to work so hard to get a profit margin that any other business would be, you know, they would close. But what Kevin said, and I know this to be true, is that it's a bigger calling. You know, if you choose to be a chef, And in fact, if you choose to be on stage in theater, you're doing something that's a bigger calling than just the vocation.
Well, congratulations on 10 wonderful years, center stage with Metro Fresh.
Thank you.
And Food and Thought is a delight. Mitchell, thank you so much.
Thank you.